Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am your host, Martin. We are joined this evening by Sydney.
Hello.
And we're going to break down everything we saw from the Mavs game against the Memphis Grizzlies, where they beat the Memphis Grizzlies 102-92. But first, if you like the show, please give a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast. All right, we got a game. We finally got a Mavericks game. It was the longest week.
It was weird watching it. I know I said that like 5 times while we were watching it.
Yeah, and you got tired of hearing it. It was probably like 10 times. Yes.
But it was weird watching the Mavericks after so long. And
it feels like a lot longer than a week. And that's because a lot happened throughout the week. The All-Star starters. Yeah. And the Well, yes, because we live in Texas and we didn't have electricity.
Just life in general was.
Well.
Basketball kind of took like a back seat for a week. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. So the Mavericks beat the Grizzlies tonight, and again over the break where they weren't playing because the game's being postponed due to the weather. The All-Star starters were announced, and there was some controversy between Luka and Lillard. We're not really going to talk about that because we don't really think it's much of a controversy.
We might talk about it in our next episode of Dallas Hoops Fancast.
Okay, well, we'll save that topic then for that. But tonight, this is really the way I wanted the Mavericks to play. This time that they had off with the games being postponed, it really was kind of like a mini training camp, which they haven't had much practice time with the entire team together, really the entire season. And so they were able to have an entire week of practice. And I think I'm happy with what I saw after that. It would have been very disappointing if they came out and laid an egg right after a week of practice.
Like if they were the Grizzlies.
Yes, exactly. You know, that would have been 20. That would have been a gut punch because then it would have just told you this team isn't going anywhere. But what we've seen from this team over the last 6 or 7 games, where I think they're like 5-2, they're a much better team than they were playing obviously earlier when they had all the injuries, a lot of people out due to COVID. Their schedule is also lightened up, so they're playing a lot easier opponents. Memphis, for example, one of them, they also have a lot of injuries. They're out Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr. And when we were watching the Grizzlies, we were like, who are these guys?
Yeah, I didn't know like most of their players. All of that was great, but I also, can we just talk about how the Grizzlies, like, I feel like just did not try for most of the game, and they're down by 20, and then they finally get it to within 10 in the final minute of the game,
and like,
they finally started trying hard. Yes. It's just like, now it's like, this is our moment, this is winning time. I feel like they played harder and better in those last 2 minutes than they did the entire rest of the game.
Yeah, one of the things that really annoys me in basketball is this idea that this never quit attitude. Yeah, and it's like sometimes, like you'll see the team will be up by 18, 19 points with the last possession, and the team that has the lead, has the ball, and he's just dribbling it. But the defender will be right up on him. Like he's, you know,
you ain't gonna score on me.
Like he's gonna
like,
show
dude,
this no
I just
quit.
Torched you
yeah,
the whole
and it's
game.
Just I've always thought that was a stupid mentality. I don't know why it began and why it continues on. And you saw that tonight with Memphis. They were gonna go down fighting, and it's like the game is over. Like the last possession that they had, where they got 3 opportunities, it's because the Mavs players were just standing there.
Yeah, like what the heck?
The game
are you
is
doing?
Over, and you guys are running around like it's the final possession of a 1-point
game. Like we
game.
Need to conserve the clock so we can get the ball back.
Yeah, it was really frustrating to see that, but I don't want to take away from what the Mavs did.
No,
to what you did to me,
it was
good
annoying.
Point, but we're going to move on from that and get back to what I was talking about.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so what did you see besides the way Memphis finished the game? What did you see from the Mavericks tonight?
Well, I mean, the Mavericks played really great defense. I think that and also Hardaway being pretty much on fire is kind of what sealed the game, because it's not like the Mavericks, I mean, they only had 2 guys in their starting lineup score double digits, and the other 3 scored 4 points, 2 points, and 6 points. Mm-hmm. So, and they scored.
And to be fair, Porzingis was out.
True, yeah, because, you know.
First night of a back-to-back,
yeah.
yes.
And they only scored 102 points, which is not a whole lot for 2021. So I think the Grizzlies had a really bad game. And then Hardaway was just freaking on fire. And then also, like, you know, Brunson played really well. And, you know, Luka was Luka. But, yeah, it was those guys off the bench that really carried the Mavericks. And then their defense. I mean, they played just really solid defense. It wasn't a bunch of, like, fluky plays or, you know, getting in the passing lanes or gambles like that. It was just solid rotations, staying tight on their man. I know maybe it's easier to do that on a team that's not elite. I mean, the Grizzlies going into this game had it. Actually, I guess they still have a better record. Winning percentage, yeah, than the Mavericks. But, you know, they're kind of at the Mavericks level, so it's not like they're playing lockdown defense on, like, the Lakers. But still, it was very good defense, and I wonder if that was one thing that they worked on throughout this whole week. I don't know.
I think they probably spent the entire week working on their defense. Their offense has been off the charts over these last 6-7 games, but their defense has been still one of the worst in the league. So I definitely think they focused on their defense. They looked at a lot of film on where they're making mental mistakes. They didn't make those mental mistakes. They also had a commitment to the defensive end. And so I'm not taking anything away from their defense for what I'm about to say, but let's be honest, Memphis has nobody.
Yeah.
They have nobody. I can't believe their record is what it is. At 13-14, for that squad that we saw tonight, they have one good player, and that's Ja Morant. Now, Valanciunas, okay, he's a quality player. He's an okay player, but Ja Morant's the only guy they got. Like Dallas, he's the only guy that can make a play for their team, and then they have no shooting. So what helped Dallas' defense was the fact that Memphis is just not an offensive juggernaut. I think they would have played good defense even if it was a good team, but they're not going to hold them to 92 points.
Yeah, I mean, the skill or the technique, the scheme, you know, it was there. Like, now, would they have held them to 92 points and, you know, less than 40% shooting? That probably wouldn't have been as good, but it's there. At least you have that foundation. Mm-hmm. It'll help you in games, whether you win by 20 or not.
Yeah. We saw another good night from, obviously we talked about Tim Hardaway, 9-14 from the field, 7-11 from three, and he's really having a good year. Hardaway does have a legit shot at winning Sixth Man of the Year. I know it's going to be tough to beat it over Jordan Clarkson because Jordan Clarkson's having a great year as well, and the Utah Jazz have the number one record. Better. So chances are it's going to go to Jordan Clarkson, but there's still a chance that Tim Hardaway can steal it away from him.
If he stays, if he stays a Maverick and, comes off the bench.
Oh, he has a chance to be a perennial Sixth Man of the Year.
Candidate.
I think we also saw a great night from Brunson, and it's really been, ever since the first 2 weeks of the season, Brunson has been a nice, steady player off the bench. He had 19.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 63% from the field, or really 64%. On the season, he's shooting 51.5 from the field and over 40% from three.
Yeah, he's, it's like he makes these kind of difficult shots, and he's not the kind of player that can do that consistently like a dozen times a game, but he's good for those shots and, these games every once in a while where he can get you, 19 points. He doesn't do it all the time, but he can make those shots and kind of carry the offense off the bench. And one thing I noticed about Brunson is the reason why he's able to make these kind of like crazy difficult shots is because he has really great body control.
Yeah, he's good balance.
Yeah, he can drive it and pull up or fade to the right or do a spin mover or whatever it is. But by the time he is shooting the ball, he has straightened his body into the perfect shooting motion aligned with the basket. And so whereas other guys that are maybe pulling those same moves, they kind of maybe look out of control or the shot just is nowhere near going in or it goes in, by happenstance or whatever. But with him, he's able to control his body really well. And so I think that helps with him getting off these kind of difficult shots. He was good tonight. Again, he's not the kind of player that does this all the time, but he's been pretty good lately off the bench.
I'll say, to be fair to him, he actually has been one of the most consistent players for the Mavericks this year.
What's he averaging?
He's averaging 12 points.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
Three rebounds and 3.5 assists.
Yeah.
Again, the points, you know, he doesn't get the minutes.
Sorry, one more thing.
Okay.
Sorry. This is why I like Hardaway off the bench. Because otherwise, Brunson was probably your best player off the bench. Mm-hmm. And that's just not good enough. So having Hardaway as your best player and then Brunson is just kind of the next best player, I think that helps. It gives you the illusion of depth.
Well, and to be fair, Brunson and Hardaway, like, I don't know why I'm the positive one. I was finding it hard to say anything negative about Brunson. I've been really hard on Brunson a lot, and I was never happy with him, and I never saw what the Mavericks saw in him. But he and Hardaway create this really good tandem off the bench, and it's been pretty consistent since they've both been on the bench together. And once we get a little bit more run with them, I think that does create at least some depth from the guard position. Now, the Mavericks still have a serious problem with depth at the forward and the center position. But at least with guard, Brunson and Hardaway can come in and play some really good minutes. And really tonight, they carried the offense for the Mavericks, because the first quarter, the Mavericks weren't really doing anything with Luka. Luka didn't start the game very well.
Yeah.
He missed every free throw he shot, missed every three.
He
went 2 of 9 from the free throw.
Yeah.
But as soon as Brunson and Hardaway came in, you saw the Mavericks start building their lead. And so I think offensively they carried the team, and that might be a combination that they can continue to roll with in the future. It doesn't solve their secondary playmaker problems or their Porzingis problem, but it solves maybe some depth problems that they've had.
Yeah, I think so. When I say the illusion of depth, it's kind of going back to that. It's like, for example, at the guard position, Tim Hardaway Jr., you could make the argument that he's better than Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson is a really good defender, but, you know, he's averaging, what, like 15 points a game for the season?
13,
less than 15. You could make the argument that Hardaway is better than Josh Richardson. But even outside of that, you know, with Dorian and Maxey, you know, Dwight Powell tonight starting, I love these guys, but in terms of, like, actual points...
No, they're not good.
Like, they don't actually have a extremely talented roster. But whenever you take one of those guys and put him off the bench, that extra burst that you get going against that other team's second unit, it gives you that illusion of depth to where it looks like you have kind of, you know, stretched out talent.
The depth is on their second unit. Like, now they have to upgrade their starters, essentially. Yeah. Like, Richardson is as great as Richardson is on defense. That's what Hardaway is on offense. You know, like they kind of cancel each other out. And I think they like starting Richardson, obviously, for the defensive purposes. But, you know, Hardaway still is getting quality minutes in the game, maybe about 30 minutes a game. I understand what you're saying. Their starting lineup is still trash sometimes. Like,
it's just, it needs work.
Yeah. It's like Porzingis is the center, and then Kleba. I love Kleba, but is he a starting four this league?
Yeah, if you just look at it objectively, how many points do those guys average? And so I love Maxey's defensive versatility, and I love Dorian's defense and rebounding. You know, I love these different things about them, but at the end of the day, you need guys that score double-digit points consistently.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so you need probably two role players like a Kleba and a Richardson on your starting lineup.
Yeah.
Two of them would be your max. The other three would be the guys that are kind of carrying the offense.
Yeah.
And that would be like Curry, Clay, and Draymond, even before they got Durant. And I know Draymond's
for the championship version.
Yes. And I know Draymond's more of a defensive guy, but he also initiates the things on the offense.
Or like with the Spurs, you know, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan, and I guess Manu came off the bench, but you could say that's sort of it. But, you know, it doesn't have to be like three superstars, but just three solid guys.
The point being,
is
they need to upgrade on their starting lineup.
Yes.
But we were talking about Brunson and Hardaway in the game tonight.
I apologize.
And we weren't going on a whole rebuild of the Mavs.
Okay. Because that's what my brain did.
Okay. Anything else you saw from the Memphis game, or do you want to just go into free agency?
No, we could talk about the Memphis game.
Well, look, there's really not a lot to talk about. The Mavericks, they started off from three hot. Now, their three-point percentage wasn't the best in this game, but it's still been better than what their season average has been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's steadily been increasing over the season. They were last in the league for a long time, and I think they're now about 25th. So they're steadily going up, and they'll probably end up middle of the pack,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. You know, they don't have a lot of good three-point shooters, so if they can finish middle of the pack, that would be great. Now, a lot of their percentages really depend on Luka and Porzingis.
Yeah,
Luka's been kind of hot from three over the last 10 games, and we've seen that from him where he'll be hot, shoot over 40% from three, and then he'll go in some serious cold stretches where mm-hmm. he was at 40% on the season, and then he finished the season at 32 because of the cold stretches that he's gone through. So right now it's on the rise because Luka's shooting the three ball well, Porzingis is shooting the three ball well, Hardaway's shooting the three ball well.
Yeah.
And once these guys kind of go into a little bit of slump, let's hope not, it'll probably just even out to where they're middle of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, I think they took care of business tonight.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are, they've had a good stretch lately, but they're, you know, they're still sort of like an up-and-coming team. They're not great yet. They're okay. And the Mavericks, they're, again, also on a hot stretch. They have their team together aside from Kristaps. And so they took advantage of the matchup, and mm-hmm. I like that. I like that they didn't play down to the opponent. They stayed focused. They played great defense. They took care of business.
Well, it was because Memphis right now is maybe one of those teams that they're fighting for positioning late in the season. Yeah. Now, right now, Dallas is in the play-in tournament at ninth. Mm-hmm. So what you would hope to see is they can get out of that play-in tournament. I just don't like a single game play-in tournament to determine, especially when you're the seventh seed. It's like, it's not fair that you're in the, you could essentially get eliminated from the playoffs because of one game.
Well, and it's like you have 82 games mm-hmm. to get that spot, to get the eighth spot. You have 82 games and you didn't get it.
So why do you get
shouldn't be rewarded for one game.
Yeah. And if you want to do the eighth seed play-in tournament, that's fine. But this is going to be a problem when there's been seasons in the Western Conference where the seventh seed was a 50-win team.
Yeah.
And let's say the ninth seed is a 42-win team. And then you do a play-in tournament, and that night, that team just happens to win. They get hot or whatever, and they beat you. And so you, as a 50-win team, get eliminated from the playoffs from a team that won 42 games.
Yeah.
You clearly were the better team all season.
This is why the first round is no longer a five-game series.
Yes.
You know, it's the same concept. You realize that wasn't fair because a team could get on fire for two games, and win a series that they didn't actually deserve to win. It's the same concept.
So needless to say, I don't think it's fair to the teams that made the playoffs. Like, they were better all season. They earned it. And the fact that they have to fight for their lives. Like, right now, Denver is in the play-in tournament. What if Denver got eliminated? Like, it's dumb. You want to see Jokic in the playoffs. But the whole point was...
Yeah, you're getting off
topic, no. Mr. I'm trying Myers. To reel it back in from your tangent. So, Dallas has been better. They're 14-15. They are now ninth. They are a game outside of eighth. A game and a half outside of seventh, and only three games outside of sixth. So that's not insurmountable. But does it really matter if they're out of eighth? It doesn't really matter anymore because they have a chance to get in anyway. So it's dumb, but they're better. They were freaking 8-13 there for a long stretch. They are now 14, so they've won six out of their last eight games.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Kristaps?
I mean...
They said he had
a stiff back. He didn't have anything. They just didn't want to play him on the first night of a back-to-back right after a long layoff. They didn't think his knee would respond, even though they practiced all week long.
Yeah.
I think he's perfectly fine. I just can't imagine
needing rest.
It's not even a week of rest. I don't think it's even rest. It's more of just management. Like, it is, when you think about playing a back-to-back right after being a week off, your body may not respond well to that. I'm just spitballing because it's getting a little careless. I understand, though, because the guy's never healthy. And you just got to do everything you can.
Yeah, I mean, they treat him with kid gloves. Like, they're so careful. And like I was saying during the game, I don't know if this is because they are still in recovery mode of, like, okay, how do we treat him while he's recovering from surgery? or if this is just how to avoid they're going to do it forever. But yeah, I mean, I see your point about a back-to-back is a back-to-back. Whether you've rested or not, it's still, it is what it is. And so maybe they feel like it's just not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he actually did have back stiffness.
We'll see tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow night. If he plays tomorrow, then we know it was just a load of crap.
Yeah.
The fact that he was on the bench, he was out there, he wasn't getting treatment, he didn't have a wrap, he's fine. They just didn't want to play him on the first night of back-to-back, but you can't rest players for no reason. So they said, back stiffness, and he'll probably be available tomorrow.
I do want to do research, because Carlisle said that he's had back stiffness off and on. And I want to see, is it always on whenever it's a back-to-back or
whenever it's convenient.
Yeah.
So,
but at least they won without him.
Yeah. And really, it was nice that, that Luka didn't have to have an offensive explosion in order for the Mavericks to win.
Yeah.
Again, they only put up 102 points, but it was more of a defensive slugfest. And the Mavericks, after not playing for a week, you thought they might be a little bit rusty. Mm-hmm. You really saw Luka a little bit rusty there to start the game.
Yeah, he was a little slow. Not like physically slow, but just not that he wasn't the electrifying Luka that he always is. But I mean, yeah, the Grizzlies shot below 40%, below 20% on threes. Mm-hmm. And below,
he's not going to win very many games.
And 63% on free throws. Yep. So excellent free throw defense.
Okay, that's all we got for tonight, guys. The Mavericks play Boston tomorrow on TNT. Let's hope Luka puts on a show, because he's got a lot of haters on that TNT cast, mainly Shaquille O'Neal.
He's
a big Luka hater, but whatever. He hates on a lot of players, and he doesn't really have a lot of respect from the players in the league today.
What do you think? Like, what's your prediction for that game? The Celtics have not been the Celtics for the past few years. They're like a 500 team.
The Mavericks should win that game.
Really? You think so?
They have to. They got to start putting...
Well, okay, but have to is different from should.
No, I think they should, because they're at home.
Okay.
They had the week off of practice. That week of practice should carry them through five games. Just the adrenaline and the fact that
information.
Yeah, all that is still fresh in your mind. And Boston has been kind of on a tailspin. Let me see what they've done the last 10 games.
It's surprising to me because, I mean, I know over the past few years they've lost Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, just a smattering of guys as the seasons have gone on. But they still have Tatum, Brown, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart. I mean, they still have these guys.
I thought they made some poor decisions. One of them was getting Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
And then they sacrificed Al Horford and Gordon Hayward.
And Gordon Hayward, really.
And really, Al Horford and Gordon Hayward would have been a better fit for this team. And then, you need a point guard, but you can get somebody else to play the point guard. Al Horford is still a starting center in this league, especially right now. They're running out there with Tristan Thompson and Daniel Theice.
It's Tice.
I know. I think, I don't know. I think it's Shaq that calls
probably
him Theice.
Probably Shaq. He doesn't know anyone's
name. I think he does it on purpose.
I don't know. It's like, how can you criticize these guys? You don't even watch them enough to know their name.
But Boston in their last 10 games is 4-6. And they lost their last game against the Pelicans, and the Pelicans came back from 24. So the Boston had a 24-point lead and lost that game. So they might be on a tailspin right now. A perfect time to catch them, to be honest with you, after us having a week of practice and Boston kind of on a tailspin. And if we win that game, we hit back to 500.
That would be a good feeling.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Carlisle took this week of just kind of a general reset, like a fresh new start to the season. Forget about the record. Forget about what position we rank offensively, defensively in the standings. Our season starts now. We're healthy.
Yeah.
Let's go. And, you know, maybe they'll have a good second half of the season.
It would be a good win. I mean, I know, like we just talked about the Celtics record and everything, but I think they do still have a good team. Whatever is going on with them, I think they have a good roster.
The fear right now from Boston is their history. But this year, they're just not a good team.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not, you know.
I guess, I mean, you are what your record says you
are. Yeah, exactly. So. And they haven't had the same injury concerns or COVID. I know they've had some guys out, but it hasn't been like decimation like the Mavericks. Mavs. So, yeah. We'll see. But early game, thankfully, since it's on TNT.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's officially listed to start at 6:30, but it probably won't start until I was going to say 9.
Oh yeah,
but you wouldn't let me finish.
Oh sorry, yeah. Wait, you want to do that again?
You want to do your pod?
No, it's okay.
Now let's go ahead. It's your pod.
No, say your joke, and then I'll laugh.
It's too late. It's over.
Okay.
All right. It's late. Mavericks won. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening. Bye.